Want entertainment designed just for you? Then check out customizable streaming TV from Xfinity. It makes your life simple, easy, awesome.
Xfinity gives you customizable streaming TV options. Enjoy the most free shows anywhere on any device, and even access your streaming apps right on your TV with X1. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network, a radio station focused on growing indomitable all-American 21st century liberty. This live episode of the Patriot Power Hour is brought to you by Ready-Made Resources. Plan, prepare, preserve with ReadyMadeResources.com. Now, let's welcome our hosts. Ben, the breaker of banksters, Cochran, and Future Dan, the editor-in-chief of the most original news radar on the planet, FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, thanks for joining us. October 18th, 2018, 9:02 p.m. Eastern. This is Ben, the breaker of banksters, Cochran. Let me bring on my co-host, Future Dan. How you doing there, sir?
Good evening, Ben. Doing well. Thanks.
Good, good. Episode 39. 39. We're coming up on the one-year anniversary as well, but we're definitely going to crack 40 and beyond before our one-year anniversary. Not bad. We're a weekly show. Had a few technical glitches. That's mostly why we missed some episodes, including last week. But we're still going to be getting more than 4 out of 5 in the long run. I think that's pretty fair share for our first season. What do you think? First year, that is. What do you think?
Yeah, we've been hammering it. It's been a good year. It's been a pleasure doing Patriot Power Hour with you, Ben.
Heck yeah, man. We've covered a lot of really important stuff, had a lot of fun, had several great guests. In year two, I want to have way more guests, though. We've had a handful in these 39 episodes, but I want one almost every episode if possible, and callers as well. So might as well give the number out, 619-789-6804. One more time, 619-789-6804. We are a live show, even though most people these days, including myself, listen to podcasts. I never listen to live radio. But if you're listening live right now, that's the number. Otherwise, we got an unlimited amount of news, especially since we missed last week. But might as well get right into that. Future Dan, last week at this time, or at least during our when we were get going live, which was on a Wednesday, actually. We're usually Thursdays, but we're going there. Long story short, the market looked like it was on the precipice of an absolute collapse. And a week later, it's not looking as bad. A little bit of a bounce back. Hasn't maybe recovered everything, but totally different situation a week later, it looks like. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm looking at the archive for stock market crashes on Future Danger. On October 1st, had a report, money-losing companies are going public at a record rate. 10 days later, Dow plunged 800 points, in the worst drop since February. That was October 10th. Next day, down 500 more. It regained that in the interim, but today, off by more than 400 points. So everything that was gained back since last week is at risk. It's getting jittery.
Okay, so kind of tried to bounce back, and that petered out. Now, I don't know how much I believe in technical analysis insofar as trading, but when you do that, when you try to bounce back, but you totally falter and run out of steam, sometimes that's when the floor falls out, you know, kind of traditional technical analysis, perhaps. Who knows? I think it's still all mostly a charade. The entire stock market, it's all built upon this fiat debt that we talk about a lot here on Patriot Power Hour. But it is obviously a big indicator. But, hey, you only put it as a green. Maybe you got one or two. I'm sure you'll go through in the second segment here on FutureDanger.com. Dollar dumped and LIBOR spikes that are yellow, but not absolutely critical compared to other stuff going on right now, I guess.
Yeah, and the important thing to remember about my website is, you know, indicators are individual. You have the ability to see them next to each other and at different degrees of fulfillment and make your judgments yourself. So when the LIBOR jumps to a fresh 10-year high, it's spiking. So it's that condition is being met somewhat. So it's a little more heated than, you know, the stock market off 400 points. It's a tiny percentage of the total point value of the Dow right now. But together, as they heat up, not all things are going to heat up at the same rate, but some of these indicators are leading and some of them are, you know, if the stock market crashed, that'd be a no kidding, no dispute about it crisis. But, you know, we've seen the market just climb and climb and climb and climb, especially in the last, you know, 3 years. So, you know, little dips like this, you got to watch them, but it certainly doesn't, you know, guarantee that anything is going in a certain direction.
Right, absolutely. And that's why we got to keep it vigilant. But that's why the archive feature, FutureDanger.com, is so cool. So, well, we'll leave Future Danger for this second segment, the News Blitz. I'm going to do a little quick plug before I want to get into a story that I know pisses you off, pisses me off too. First, though, be sure to check us out. If you're wherever you listen to us, best way to find other ways to contact or listen to us, blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. That's the hub. It's got links to our Twitter, websites, any of that stuff, all that stuff, right? blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Again, we're here every Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern, live. But you can also find podcast. The RSS feed's there. And also, if you look in iTunes search engine or anything, we haven't been blocked or banned there yet. Knock on wood. Better just leave it at that. But you can find Patriot Broadcasting Network. You got to search our entire network, not just Patriot Power Hour. That's just the name of this show. So there's the self plug. Now let's get into potential loss of upwards of a dozen F-22 Raptors. Lead us into that story there, Future Dan.
I will. But before that, I want to make note that the Future Danger Facebook page is acting a little squirrely. We got connections from Twitter to Facebook. They're not working. And connections from Steemit to Facebook. And I just tested it a moment ago. It also won't push to the at Future Danger heat map is the name of the Facebook page. I can still see it. But anybody wants to reach out and tell me if they could see it, it'd be real interesting because, you know, I'm getting a little quirkiness, and we are 18 days from the midterms. So a little bit of question whether we're blocked by that institution known as Facebook yet or not. Yeah, Hurricane Michael swept into the panhandle of Florida. There's reports of over 1,000 people still missing. Probably a lot of them fled the state and just, you know, are not found by the authorities where their homes used to be. But the Air Force Base down there, Tyndall Air Force Base, is a repair depot for the F-22 Stealth Generation 5 fighter jet. It's up to a $1 billion a copy, I believe, perhaps a little more. And that's where they repaired them. And when the hurricane was coming in, there was little that could be done other than tell all the folks to go home, be safe, and weather the storm. And there are hints and rumors out there that all these aircraft were, of course, non-operable. They were under repair. But apparently their hangar got – that Air Force base got totaled, just demolished, along with a lot of the that part of Florida. And given that this is – these are stealth fighter planes with skins that are, leading-edge technology to avoid radar, they can't, get banged around and continue to be operational warplanes. So, yeah, we could have had a one of our most important pieces of military hardware, a big piece of that fleet. Apparently it was one-tenth – of the fleet was there, and haven't seen any reports from the Air Force quite confirming or denying it, and it's probably because it's an operational security issue that, releasing that information, they'll eventually have to admit what happened. But right now, we don't know the status of all the F-22s under repair down there.
And this is just kind of crazy because I saw the final track with 6 hours to landfall. I saw the radar, and I was on weather.com or wherever it was, maybe even Drudge or Future Danger, probably. Of course, Future Danger has the best site. Everybody knows that. But I went into Google Maps, zoomed in to the little, exactly where it was going to be, and just tried to study the area. And I specifically remember seeing that Air Force base. And I was like, oh, it's probably just some little reserve base with some C-130 transports or something. But, obviously I didn't think much more about it. But now when this came up, I'm like, oh, my God. Why would they even put that there? To be honest, I'm in risk management. I deal with assets and I deal with hurricane zones. And if you have very expensive assets right on the coast in non-storm-proof hangars, this was a big storm, but it was like a category 3 or something. It wasn't like a category 5, all-time record 195 mile an hour winds or something. Why would they even put that there? Does that even make sense? That's pathetic.
So I'm looking at a report yesterday from USA Today. Again, up to 22 are we don't know the status of. 33 aircraft were flown away, and that's what they do. The C-130s and C-17s, the transport aircraft, are out of Charleston, and they'll move. That's standard operating procedure for the Air Force, is fly away from weather like that, right? But of the 22 that couldn't fly away, what has happened to them? And a correction for the Patriot Power Hour: USA Today reports that they only cost $330 million each, so one third or so of the number. So,
fire sale.
I guess that's
Amazon lightning sale.
Yeah. $330 million each. And to answer your question, there are certain what they call ranges. Everybody is familiar with, has firearms and has shot at the range, understands, firearm ranges. Well, warplanes have ranges. Navy ships have ranges. They got big zones where they can practice dropping munitions. And that just happens to be based down the southeast, and it maybe because it was favorable conditions for that, because we set up bases in after World War II that just happened to use that area, and it was just something that the Air Force has always done. And obviously, with that kind of repair facility, a lot of high tech, highly cleared jobs, which command good salaries. Congress is involved in these things. The report I'm looking at here is that the political leaders in Florida are urging the Trump administration to prioritize rebuilding Tyndall Air Force Base. I bet they are. But what happened to the jets, and what kind of losses do we suffer? That's the real question. And if they're going to rebuild that base, I would suggest they build some bunkers that can house $330 million aircraft.
You know where they need to put it? In the middle of Missouri or Kansas, or up in Minnesota. They need to put it there. in somewhere nice and safe. Maybe not Kansas, too many tornadoes. All right, folks. We do have the Future Danger News Blitz coming up. But again, if you like what you're hearing, stick with us. Check out our sponsors. And, of course, subscribe. Hit us up on Twitter. Ask us questions. Give us feedback for better or worse. Best way to find us, blogtalkradio.com. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Find us there. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Stay right here for more of the Patriot Power Hour, the flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network.
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club. Second rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club. Third rule of Fight Club, someone yells stop, goes limp, taps out, the fight is over. Fourth rule, only two guys to a fight. Fifth rule, one fight at a time, fellas. Sixth rule, no shirts, no shoes. Seventh rule, fights will go on as long as they have to. And the eighth and final rule, if this is your first night at Fight Club, you have to fight.
Hey, Patriot Power Hour listeners, disruptions to the social, political, and economic order are a real threat. Ready-Made Resources can help you. For 18 years, Bob Griswold has run Ready-Made Resources from his homestead in Tennessee. He has a ranch where he lives and learns the lifestyle. Supply yourself with night vision. Bug out at night. Most people won't be able to. Perform search and rescue after dark. And most importantly, see your adversaries long before they see you. Ready-Made Resources now offers their lowest price ever on mil-spec PVS-14 monoculars and PVS-30 rifle scopes. Go off the grid with solar. Send secure data by long-range ham radio or mount a PEQ-15 infrared laser pointer on your firearm of choice. Give Bob a call. Talk to him personally. Let him consult with you. He'll set you up. Free shipping, easy checkout, and friendly support. Call Ready-Made Resources today at 1-800-627-3809. Plan, prepare, preserve at readymaderesources.com.
Achieve situational awareness. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe.
Welcome back to the Patriot Power Hour. This is Future Dan of FutureDanger.com. This Thursday, October 18th, 2018, and we're going to hit the Future Danger Sit Rep, brought to you by ReadyMadeResources.com. In column four, the natural column, got a lot of low-level news, a lot of yellows and greens, folks. Got drug-resistant salmonella outbreak reported in 29 states. We got another disease that's baffling scientists and doctors right now. Majority of U.S. states are facing confirmed or possible cases of a polio-like illness. It's a mystery. It's paralyzing children. 62 cases confirmed. Kind of pales in comparison to out in the Congo. They have another Ebola outbreak, this time in the northeast of the country in a war zone. It's heading towards an international emergency. Death toll is soaring. Experts are pulling out because militia groups fight in that region. 24 of 33 victims died in the past week alone. 33 new cases and 24 of them died. Taking life, it's Ebola. See if it jumps borders. We got animal die-offs showing up. Hyper-alarming study shows massive insect loss worldwide. Down in Australia, dead kangaroos, cows, goats, just found out in fields, hundreds of them. Some weather anomaly, might have been hail. Almost half of Americans now born out of wedlock. American fertility rates are falling. That's natural family in the United States today. It's declining. And as we discussed in segment one, more than 1,000 remain missing a week after Hurricane Michael. Death toll is at least 29. And again, if you look overseas, our news isn't as bad as it can get. Tropical cyclone killed dozens in eastern India last week. There's a claim out there that human beings are on the brink of immortality using artificial intelligence. Of course, that's just a claim. What would be the effects of lifespans being unnaturally extended by hundreds of years? Well, it probably won't bring good things. Japan's planning to flush radioactive Fukushima water into the Pacific Ocean. They got large containers of it from the Fukushima melted down nuclear cores. They really can't do anything with it besides dump it in the ocean, but, you know, that, obviously spoiling our seas is something we don't want to see. In column one, Ben, it's one of the quietest weeks in the Liberty column. Got the two standbys, the two indicators you can always count on being heated up. First one, news censorship. Here you go. All the networks ignore Republican candidates in Minnesota allegedly being assaulted by left-wing protesters. Some people running for office got beat up in the streets, and doesn't make the nightly news in the United States in this day and age. Got the list of pages deleted by Facebook up there in the news censorship. Of course, some pages here and there, including Future Danger, wouldn't rate as most people's, you know, consider what they consider news. But you got to look at it a little broader and wider, and understand that there's alternative media in this day and age, and it's definitely being censored. And today, the founder of the group that commissioned the dirty dossier, Fusion GPS, takes the Fifth Amendment, has major conflicts of his testimony with Congress, and probably is in a lot of hot water. And lo and behold, nightly news across all the networks refuses to report it. We got an FBI official who took sports tickets from a journalist, lied about it, won't be punished. They don't even release his name. That's another tick in the mark of distrust in our judicial system to include, the federal law enforcement agency that is supposed to be above all the others in integrity. Column two. Saudi Arabia has admitted that rogue operatives killed a dissident journalist in a Turkey embassy. Apparently they lured him in and tortured him and cut him into pieces, and no one's seen him since. All right, and the Turkish government's leaking all this against the Saudis. So we got major Middle East intrigue. Today or yesterday, one of the members of this 18 or 15-man team that showed up in the consulate in Turkey, the capital of Turkey, hours before the journalist entered, Khashoggi, one of the members of that team, an Air Force lieutenant, close, and you know, all these members are considered close or reportedly close to the crown prince. He died in a suspicious car accident in Saudi Arabia today. So we have an Arabian Game of Thrones heating up. And it's covered in a indicator we call the Saudis toppled. Most people that I know might be interested in applauding the end of that regime. But if that thing goes, what vacuum is created in the Middle East? What chaos and destruction follows? Oil prices and its effect on our economy worldwide? That kingdom alone is a real problem. But if it topples and wobbles and comes on down, the trouble that could follow could be immense. We got Antifa in Portland acting up again. We got Proud Boys in New York being sought by the NYPD for assault. Political violence is on the rise. See if it gets any, if it hits some kind of ceiling and the rest of America can't put up with it, or if it just continues to grow. Overseas again, we got the Secretary of Defense openly talking about Chinese militarization of the South China Sea. China, meanwhile, has hinted that they're going to unveil their own stealth warplane in 2019, a stealth bomber. Got a picture of it, reported picture of what that H-20 Chinese stealth bomber looks like up on Future Danger. And just in the past few days, U.S. again flies B-52s near those contested islands doing freedom of navigation operations. Chinese are obviously perturbed about that every time it happens. Also in the Pacific, Taiwan, what China considers a rogue province of the mainland, which has been de facto independent since the Chinese communists took over in 1950, late 40s, the Taiwanese are holding a mass independence rally. And believe me, those bosses in Beijing don't like it when they do that. They're doing that simultaneous to kicking off war games simulating a Chinese invasion, getting ready for an aircraft carrier attack from the east side of the island by the Chinese. Chinese have one aircraft carrier right now. And they've had an unprecedented number of drills this year. Taiwanese take Chinese military very, very seriously because the scenario would be they could get invaded and taken over within a day or two. Again, without the help of the United States, and the F-22 Raptor, as we discussed in the first segment, is a critical piece of our ability to prevent that from happening. Anthrax and plague vaccine has been developed amid fears of bioterrorism. Russian nuclear submarines train nuke strikes, and Iran has announced new missiles with extended range. Those are your international security situational updates in the economic column. Dollar's reserve status slumps to a five-year low. Russia and China are preparing to ditch the dollar in bilateral trade. If the dollar stops getting used around the world, it could affect us big time. The LIBOR, a index of interest rates, a measure of government-set interest rates, has just jumped to a fresh 10-year high. And in a historic milestone today, leveraged loan market overtakes junk bonds. I'm going to turn to my partner to explain that one to us in a moment. And finally, thousands of people are lining up for zero down payment subprime mortgages. Get your time machine ready. Sounds like about 12 years ago before the last crisis. And that's happening as mortgage applications collapse to an 18-year low. Keep an eye on the real estate market. And China and Japan are dumping U.S. treasuries. Keep an eye on that. Otherwise, there's a ton of good economic news out there, but it's always balanced by those financial type of pieces of news that you got to watch for. We learned the last time there was a big crisis in 2007 and 8 that some of these things are very easy to see if you just happen to be looking for them. And with that, your Future Danger Sit-Rep Report for October 18th, 2018. I turn to my partner, Mr. Ben Cochran, the Breaker of Banksters. What say you?
That was great. Beautiful. As always, tons of news, man. From the, I'm always a little paranoid, worried about the Ebola, but I think that's mostly the Hollywood movies. From there to the economic news, everything in between. Very interesting. Now, I wonder where China got the technology and blueprints for that stealth bomber. That's a question as well. But we only got a minute or two left in the second segment. I guess if I had to pick my favorite story, or maybe most important that I need to research more myself, is the whole situation, Saudi Arabia and just the Middle East. But it's such a quagmire. Like, I know things about that area, but do I really know what's going on there? Does anyone really know? And it's so such an important area, such important stuff going on, but it's just, that's kind of a black hole. How do you try to translate or understand what's going on over there?
Real easy. If Iran and Israel fight, we're sucked into a war. If Israel or Iran and Saudi Arabia fight and their sides of Islam, Shiite, and Sunni close in around and behind them, we have another colossal mess and we're dragged into it. And if the Saudi Arabian government, the kingdom, collapses, the void that would be left for jihadists, not to mention Iran taking advantage of situations all around the Middle East, could all of it would lead back to U.S. troops on the ground there, our treasury being depleted, propping up some kind of status quo just to keep carbon fuel pumping out of that area. Now, would the president let that happen? I don't know, but we got to keep an eye on all those situations.
Yeah, sounds like a bad, bad time. All right, folks, we'll be right back. Patriot Power Hour.
Stay right here for more of the Patriot Power Hour, the flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network.
Hey, Patriot Power Hour listeners, disruptions to the social, political, and economic order are a real threat. Ready-Made Resources can help you. For 18 years, Bob Griswold has run Ready-Made Resources from his homestead in Tennessee. He has a ranch where he lives and learns the lifestyle. Supply yourself with night vision. Bug out at night. Most people won't be able to. Perform search and rescue after dark. And most importantly, see your adversaries long before they see you. Ready-Made Resources now offers their lowest price ever on mil-spec PVS-14 monoculars and PVS-30 rifle scopes. Go off the grid with solar. Send secure data by long-range ham radio or mount a PEQ-15 infrared laser pointer on your firearm of choice. Give Bob a call. Talk to him personally. Let him consult with you. He'll set you up. Free shipping, easy checkout, and friendly support. Call Ready Made Resources today at 1-800-627-3809. Plan, prepare, preserve at readymaderesources.com.
Bill. Deliver these good and fervent folk to the polls on a regular basis, and there'll be a handsome price for each vote goes Tammany's way.
My father gave his life making this country what it is. Murdered by the British with all of his men on the 25th of July, Anno Domini 1814. You think I'm gonna help you befoul his legacy? By giving this country over to them what's had no hand in the fighting for it? Why, because they come off a boat crawling with lice and begging you for soup?
Patriot Power Hour, we're live and we are back. Bottom of the hour of this Power Hour. Get how that works. October 18th. Tonight is the second to last episode of season 4. Correct me if I'm wrong. We're on season 4 and we're starting season 5. Ain't that right?
That's correct. We're ending the fall, the autumn season of 18.
All right, good. So we're going to be ending that next week, next Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern, the season finale. Going to have a couple special giveaways and announcements. We'll be taking a couple weeks off into early November. We'll come back right before Thanksgiving, and then from post-Thanksgiving until pretty much the Christmas, you know, holiday season, we'll be live 3, 4, 5 weeks in a row in that kind of void between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Thanksgiving's really early this year, so it's going to be a long haul to get to Christmas, so to speak. So next week, though, again, be sure to listen live because we're going to have some great prizes, but you don't have to. If you only can listen to archive, can't listen live Thursday nights, you can still win on the contest. But no contest tonight, next week. But still, so reach out to us this week. Just give us some questions and thoughts and ideas. You may not win anything, but you'll win our hearts. So hit us up. I want to get back into the whole mess in the Middle East. And this started from one of the articles about Game of Thrones in the Middle East, and even from there it came from the Saudi Arabia situation with they cut up the journalists and all this stuff going on. What? How do you decipher what's really going on over there? You know, one could say, just how do you decipher this stuff in any way? We're not there physically observing this stuff. It could all be propaganda. That's one extreme, of course. But you go even further to Middle East, to a whole different culture, religion, and they have thousands and thousands of years of this stuff going on. How do you even get into that without just being swept away?
Yeah, the way to think of it, I would suggest, Ben, is unlike – our founding and our culture when the colonies became independent, and we wrote our Constitution, and we have a conception that Article I power is a Congress that declares wars. And a lot of the Western European nation states eventually got to the point where their parliaments also theoretically are voting to go to war. It's still true. I mean, British Parliament, a couple years ago turned down the strike on Syria. So, we vote on whether we are at war or we're not. That's what we're supposed to be doing. All right. We've decayed since World War II and not declaring war through, an act of Congress. But usually there's a resolution, and the resolution to go to Iraq is considered by most to be a declaration of war by another name. So we do that. And we're supposed to have this conception of when we're on and we're fighting war, we're fighting it to win and we're fighting to end it. That's not at all the Middle Eastern way. They are in perpetual war. They're in perpetual tyranny. They're it's never ending, right? So when that regime sees with despotism like it is right now, it shocks us in the West, but it's not new for the Middle East, Southwest Asia,
right?
So no one's going to know who was behind this. You could have it could be an entire setup. The Turks could have grabbed Khashoggi and made Crown Prince look like a villain. The Iranians could have grabbed Khashoggi to make the Crown Prince look like a villain. Or just as likely, the Crown Prince could have sent 15 of his boys there to murder him. Any of it could be true.
Right, exactly. Well, that's what throws me off. So what are you supposed to do about that? Like, it's so many options. It's just overload at some point. I don't know.
Well, we do have this problem of the fact that the oil reserves under that sand have
complicated
huge potential to put us at risk economically. That's why we immediately went there and stood up to Saddam to get Kuwait back. And it's never going to stop being true unless there was another source of energy, or if the United States was truly energy independent and was exporting as much as the Saudis could. That would certainly diminish the importance of that regime, and in a sense could diminish some of the friction that part of the world experiences. But it's as though oil is a fuel for our combustion engines, but it's also a fuel for the state of perpetual tension and clandestine warfare that comes out of that part of the world. That, and plus it's pretty much their cultural way to do things that way.
Oh, it's just so much, I don't know, it is still human nature, but like you said, I think maybe they've refined it, and since it's been perpetual for so many years, they don't expect it to be any other way. It's just a whole nother beast to deal with, but I think getting away from that type of relationship, being friends with everybody, but allies with no one type of thing in terms of war, it's got some negative parts to it, certainly, but it has some positive as well. I think we need to move a little bit more towards there as opposed to being, the military arm of the United Nations and NATO. That's kind of what the U.S. has been turned into, unfortunately, and in a lot of ways. But who would stand up to China? Who would stand up to Russia? Who would stand up to, Iran? Now, Saudi Arabia, I think, is just as bad or worse than any of these countries. But, of course, we end up selling all types of military hardware and helping them out on the back end. So that's a perverted relationship as well. So it does. There's just so many threads that sometimes even, I just get a little bit too overwhelmed. But I'll try my best. I'll try out and see what I can do.
There's so many axes of power. There's, obviously the Iranians and Israelis are staring each other down. Unlike earlier in our lives, the Sunni world has somehow made peace with the Israelis and have a de facto alliance because they fear Iran. Russia under Putin has obviously inserted itself right into the middle of the Middle East, having put itself at war in Syria and, by all reports, comported itself pretty well, hammering ISIS. You got the jihadis that would like to take out the Saudis. You got different, Gulf kingdoms, UAE and Qatar, at the throats of the Saudis. It is a lot of small collections of, power centers. I shouldn't say a lot of collections. A collection of power centers that are, again, perpetually in tension and perpetually at war. It's not like other regions of the world. It resembles more of what you would get from Africa than from East Asia or Western Europe.
So I'm going to give you a question here. You have to rate, of these four areas, which one do you think is the most concerning and dangerous to the average listener right now? We'll just say the average listener is in North America, more than likely. What's going on, or what's the biggest threat? Domestic threat. You can call that government. You can call that even crime domestically. Anything domestically, is that the biggest threat? Is the Middle East the biggest threat? Is China the biggest threat? Or is Russia the biggest threat? Or five other? Maybe you think something in Europe or Africa or something else, just AI in general. But what do you think the worst threat or worst couple threats that I just said there? For our average listener, what's a real threat? What's a boogeyman, maybe, is another way to put it.
Well, in terms of security, call them two security indicators. Is that the scope of your question?
Yeah, good point. Yes. Let's do it in terms of that. It's more like a homeland security or loss of liberty in a kind of oppressive police state way for the domestic. And then the other ones are, more of a existential or outside threat, either security or even, some rogue virus from Africa, if you want to put that as your other, I doubt you will. But yes, more of a national security or just physical threat in one way or another, or even cyber threat, right?
Yeah. I worry most about employment of nuclear weapons by second tier states that haven't had them for decades and haven't educated their staffs on what it means to fight with nuclear weapons. And an example of that, I know through people that were that served on the staff officers on the Joint Chief of Staff, that when India and Pakistan, both possessing nuclear weapons and both having a border that has live firefights fairly often, they got the line of control in the Kashmir, a big territory that they never really settled after the last time. I think it was in the early 70s that Pakistan and India fought. Both of these are nuclear-armed states. And what we did was brought their generals to, not together, but brought them separately to places like Fort Leavenworth, where our command and staff train, where we take our highest, our senior officers and turn them into generals. We've trained for decades on, thinking through what happens when you go down the road to war and things start occurring where both sides feel as though they have a need to, show signs that they're willing to go to war for fear that if you don't show that, that posture, that you're at risk of taking a strike. And it succeeded in educating the Pakistanis and Indians, at least that generation of officers, that the losses of exchanging those nukes would be just really realizing what that would mean. My biggest fear is that these things have to be trained and taught constantly to our own military forces, let alone others, and the NATO alliance, and for to their credit, the Russians have a firm understanding of how bad it would get. That there would be very little left, and it would be the winning of one of those scenarios is not a condition that is really a win. Nevertheless, you have the weapons and you have to be prepared to use them. That countries like, and I'm sure that the Israeli staff is as well schooled in how it works as any Western military. But, you know, again, Pakistan, India, Iran, if they've obtained nukes, or any other state, if the Saudis, who could essentially buy nuclear weapons, and some have rumored have already, you know, paid for and could have delivered Pakistani warheads. If some of these regimes who on the world stage grab journalists and cut them up in embassies went down that path and said, should we use our weapons before they're destroyed where they sit for fear that our enemy is going to strike us at any moment? We're not talking about, you know, Annapolis and West Point and Colorado Springs educated professional militaries. We're talking about, you know, medieval regimes, and that's where the real fear is, because if they start sparking those weapons off, who knows where it leads. It's an environmental disaster on this side of the planet and a Holocaust on that side of the planet. But the world would never be the same again, and the loss of liberty at home here would be guaranteed because we'd be in a war condition for decades.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you thought, you know, the Iraq and Afghanistan actions brought in police state and all that type of stuff. Imagine if their nukes went off in the Middle East, whether Syria or Iran or who knows what. Hopefully not. Or you got to remember what I'm worried about, just to, you know, keep doom saying here. It could even be 100% natural, but we are due for a major epidemic. You're coughing it up. Hopefully you're not patient zero. No, but you know, I know what it's like to get a cough and you can't get rid of it for weeks, even months. But point is, you know, I don't even recall the last major pandemic that hurt America since, you know, the flu of about 100 years ago. That was really bad. And I'm sure there's other ones, and old people and young people die more often, and it's not recorded necessarily as because of one particular pandemic or something. But I'm just saying, like, that I'm always, again, Ebola gets all the credit, or SARS, or, you know, stuff like that. But that either, of course, a terror attack or a state actor using some sort of bioweapon, but even just natural form or just from all the antibiotics we lose, that's something that I fear the most. I don't think it's the most probable. I think for me, out of those, I would choose domestically. I'm more worried about loss of liberties and loss of purchasing power economically, which, you know, begets loss of security, national security, and personal security when you lose economic power. And, you know, I think that, and again, DHS, the rise of DHS and FEMA, and now 5G and all-time monitoring and censorship of news and blah, 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 all that stuff that we talk about, right? That's what I fear the most, to be honest.
Yeah, the pandemic is carried, obviously, as an indicator. It's the fodder for many, many sci-fi thrillers of Armageddon from that direction.
Asteroid.
It's really impossible to know if we're close to something like that. And again, we haven't witnessed it. But if it were to emerge, you can look at every security indicator and all the potential wars, and you probably see some of them kick off, because it would just be so destabilizing if hundreds of thousands of people were infected with diseases. And it would really, you know, it would eventually get to countries that were, you know, otherwise inclined to, you know, act aggressively to their neighbors, and the entire international system could be at risk. Same thing economically. If you know, an economic crisis obviously could lead to world war. I mean, 1929, stock market crash, 1939, it was on in Europe. So that's kind of the way Future Danger set up, is to help you look across these disparate sources of threats and see patterns emerging. And, you know, most days, thankfully, it's just a random smattering of pieces of news. Even, you know, we talked a lot about the Saudis and what would happen if that kingdom came unraveling. Still, this news is only considered, you know, low level. There's no hard things that are showing any coup attempts or anything. Not yet.
That's true. It's just warming up, and maybe it's just going to cool off and dissipate for months or even years. So that's what we're trying to do here at Patriot Power Hour together. I know you with FutureDanger.com and me with some of my other efforts. We're not just trying to doomsay, get people scared, and we're certainly not trying to make money off making people scared, because we don't make no money off this. Let me tell you, we actually pay in the long run. But we're trying to not just talk about what's scary, but try to analyze some of the threats, try to, you know, we do try to talk solutions as well. We need to probably make a New Year's resolution in 2019 and talk more solutions. Every show have a segment about solutions. Maybe we should just get into that right now. Why not? Plan it on the air. What are some of the things that you think that, you know, the average listener can do to prepare for all these different threats, whether it's the pandemic, DHS, clampdown, asteroid, dinosaurs coming back? No. You know, what are some of the basics? You know, we don't have to get into a whole prepping thing here, but maybe it's more of a mindset or just, I don't know, staying on your toes and trying to every day incrementally get a little better at your preparedness of, you know, whether it's emotionally, physically, or otherwise, right? But what do you think?
Well, you know, there's a traditional prepper, you know, mentality of, you know, being able to, you know, thrive on a homestead separate from off-grid and let the rest of the world go to hell in a handbasket around you and just try to weather it and protect it with your group and get up into the mountains and separate yourself and survive, right? And that's a very extreme level of prepare, you know, a preparedness scenario.
It'd be hard.
That everybody
really
goes
hard
to the extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the one that I think people ought to do, and it was part of the inspiration of building Future Danger, is be educated on those economic indicators, because 2007 and 8 taught anybody anything. They can sneak up fast, and you should know what the LIBOR is. You should know what, you know, the leveraged loan market is, and you should know if 400 points off the Dow in a given day is a lot or a little. Even if you don't have any investments in any of this, don't be blind to it, because the later steps of this is that, you know, there's massive unemployment. And there's, you know, there's massive, you know, foreclosures on housing and et cetera. The stuff that, you know, you would know it if that happened, because it would be bad for you. Be prepared to be financially flexible ahead of those conditions. Again, none of that's showing itself as, you know, likely to happen in the month of October 2018, but every once in a while, some of these ghosts of the 2008 crisis start swelling up, and at least for myself, I'm not going to be caught unawares again.
Definitely, definitely. So we skipped the third break for today's Patriot Power Hour since we missed last week. I wanted to just get as much as we could in before we go, because we only got about, time's flying, 5-6 minutes left. I want to quickly get into some crypto news and get to the prices. I know, not to put you on the spot, usually we have this ready, but to be honest, we don't even know how much maybe Bitcoin has changed in the last week. I guess I can pull up my trusty website. Bitcoin is up 4.1% since last week, but only at $6,475. And by only, I mean this time last year was much higher than that. And of course, it peaked in December of last year at 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20,000. And then, of course, essentially collapsed 70%, 60, 70% since that peak. However, compared to 2 years ago, Bitcoin is still up like 500% probably. So, yeah, it's had a really bad year, but it's still on a very high trajectory compared to 2 years ago, let alone 3, 4, 5 years ago. The rest of the crypto, the alts have been also getting battered overall this year, really bad actually. But some of them have some very, very successful stories still. Again, Ethereum, as an example, second in market cap right now. And right now it's at $202, very low compared to its peak. I believe its peak was above 1,000, if I recall. Let's see what it was. I'm almost positive it was upwards of 1,000 at its peak. But right now, $202. But again, 2 years ago, it was like single digits. It was like $9 or something. That might not be
Ethereum,
the perfect.
Ethereum hit 1,300 in January.
See, unbelievable. Like my memory, I'm almost like not giving it enough credit because even I don't believe it. So that's, you know, we used to talk about that. You know, this is episode 39. Episodes 1 through 10, we talked about crypto 10, 15 minutes a show. Now we don't even talk about it every show. But it's also kind of leveled out, maybe become more of a respectable asset that isn't going up and down. You know, it's been relatively steady the last month or two, to be honest. So have you been following this? What do you think? Do you look at it glass half full or glass half empty in terms of the price action in particular?
This thing's been flat since August. It's been floating right between 64, 6,500, the Bitcoin at least. And we've talked about it before. It could be a one-time vent, an outlet. If everything goes haywire in the mainstream financial markets, if the crisis comes upon us again and the president fires the Fed president or berates the Fed in entirely unprecedented ways, which I'm all for, by the way. I love it. He's saying things a little – he's telling the truth about them. You know, we could see crypto explode, but the real problem – is it's not widely accepted, and you know, for payment you can't buy and sell it and spend it as freely as you'd like. And penetrating what fiat currency has had, you know, thousands of years to nail down, and in the United States, paper dollars, at least since the 70s when it came off the gold standard, you know, trying to undo that isn't going to happen terribly fast.
Right. Some people, big proponents would say, hey, you can get a Visa card linked to a Bitcoin account. True. That is true. But you're still using that fiat system. You know what I mean? So I can see both sides, but I definitely agree with you that it's not. Hell, even if most people, even if it is 100% was, could be accepted super easily, most people still don't believe it is easily accepted. Just that belief itself will take decades to kind of turn people around, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that, for good reason, believe anything on the computer can be hacked. And whether or not the digital ledger known as blockchain is ultimately impervious to that is not completely understood. If anybody had an incentive to have corrupted it and be able to exploit it, it would have been every intelligence agency in the world. And there's probably a lot of mainstream people that are fearful of it. BitScam, they call it, you know. So whether or not this ever pops and becomes something remains to be seen. But unlike every other potential, you know, market sell-off and financial crisis scenario beforehand, this thing is sitting out there. All the cryptos are sitting out there. And it is a place where wealth could flow if hell breaks loose. So keep an eye on Bitcoin. If it starts to skyrocket, there'll be a cause for it. And I personally believe you could see, you know, 5 or 6 digit coin in fiat, you know, measured in U.S. dollars, if you had a big fat market correction, stock market correction, that is.
Could be, definitely. All right, well, that's some great talk. I love today's episode, episode 39. I'm going to try to get as much out there on social media and to all the longtime listeners. Thanks for everything. We will be back next week for the season 4 finale. I'm psyched about that, Future Dan. Next week, October 25th, 2018, 9 p.m. Eastern. You'll be able to find us at blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network, or just follow us on different social media. You know where to find us. If not, it's not that hard to find us. Come on. You can do it. I have faith in you. All right, folks. We'll be back next week. Have a great one.
Listening to the Patriot Broadcasting Network, sponsored by ReadyMadeResources.com.
Mark, hey.
It's a bloodbath up here. Morgan's stock has lost half its value. It's down to 2310. It's in a free fall. Clients wanted to talk to you about pulling their money. I mean, it's now or never, Mark. We gotta sell. Mark. Mark, can you hear me?
Mark, you there?
Paulson and Bernanke just left the White House. There's going to be a bailout.
Well, they had to. Right? I mean, paper markets would have
collapsed.
They knew. Cash would have stopped coming out of ATMs. They had to backstop this.
They knew the taxpayers would bail them out. They weren't being stupid. They just didn't care.
Yeah, because they're fucking crooks. But
at least we're going to see some of them go to jail. Right? I mean, they're going to have to break up the banks.
I mean, the party's over.
I don't know.
You are listening live to the Patriot Power Hour, furnished by Ready Made Resources and fueled by FutureDanger.com.
Hey, Patriot Power Hour listeners. Disruptions to the social, political, and economic order are a real threat. Ready Made Resources can help you. For 18 years, Bob Griswold has run Ready Made Resources from his homestead in Tennessee. He has a ranch where he lives and learns the lifestyle. Supply yourself with night vision. Bug out at night. Most people won't be able to. Perform search and rescue after dark. And most importantly, see your adversaries long before they see you. Ready Made Resources now offers their lowest price ever on mil-spec PVS-14 monoculars and PVS-30 rifle scopes. Go off the grid with solar. Send secure data by long-range ham radio, teen infrared laser pointer on your firearm of choice. Give Bob a call. Talk to him personally. Let him consult with you. He'll set you up. Free shipping, easy checkout, and friendly support. Call Ready Made Resources today at 1-800-627-3809. Plan, prepare, preserve at readymaderesources.com.
'Cause maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer, all the stars are closer.
Tell me what you gon' do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
Maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.